Hello, all you Lasso fans. It's been so long since we visited our poor friend Ted Lasso. We've been in the middle of doing all of this shrinking, rewatching, and we certainly will be getting back to that in the very near future. But I wanted to bring you a really special interview with some Ted Lasso fans that happen to be very good at business as well. And they've married those two things into a wonderful book called Lead It Like Lasso, a leadership book for life, your life. And I have to say that this book is in a lot of ways a wonderful leadership guide in that it sort of walks the reader through these different principles and ideas and does it in an entertaining way because it's completely enveloped and wrapped in the love of Ted Lasso. And so this is not a book. I'm going to mention it when I talk to them in the interview, but it's not a book that is just Ted Lasso slapped on it just to try to sell some books. These are fans. These are people that know these characters. They know the show inside and out, and they give you some really great insights into leadership skills based on not only Ted. I mean, it's going deeper into all of the characters that we come to love from AFC Richmond as well. So really excited today to get a chance to talk to Marnie Stockman and Nick Coniglio about their book and be able to bring that conversation to you. So where are we at as far as the show? Where is Jeremy? What's going on? Jeremy had a last second engagement that happened. He was not able to make this interview recording, but he is just fine. And so am I. Sorry for the long delay in episodes of Shrinking. We will be getting back to that in the relatively near future. As we know, we are coming up with more and more information about Shrinking season two. So you better believe the next episode, we will talk about the Brett Goldstein news that he is joining the cast as a player in Shrinking Season 2. And then as we finish to wrap up the second half of the season, waiting for that Season 2 to come out so we can start some really live recaps of Shrinking Season 2 as well. And of course, we're always looking for more Lasso news and people that are wanting to talk Lasso with us. And so that's why we're bringing you this conversation today with Marnie and Nick. And with that, I'm going to leave you here and take you right over to myself talking to Marnie and Nick all about Lead It Like Lasso. It is such an honor today to bring on to Peanut Butter and Biscuits two authors that came up with a book all about Lasso called Lead It Like Lasso. And it's a really, really great book. I'm excited to talk to both of you today. Welcome to the show, Marnie Stockman and Nick Coniglio as well. I just talked to you about pronunciations of names, and I hope that I did that okay, Nick. That was the second time I tried.
I think you nailed it. Yep. Perfect.
Okay. That's great. It's so great to have both of you here today.
Oh, excited to be here. Yeah. Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. It's my treat. So I should mention that this all started because you made things for my dog. You made Marnie. So Nick reached out to me and saw that I had a new puppy, a rescue puppy, Olive, and then was like, my partner can make this crochet amazing AFC Richmond sweater for my dog, Olive. And here it comes in the mail like the next week. So thank you. First of all, I guess
you're
I gotta
welcome.
Start there.
The side journeys, a side quest in my life was to own a knitting shop. And Nick also has a dachshund. And I said, we've got to knit your dog an AFC Richmond jersey. And so then when he saw Olive, was like, oh my gosh, we got to have one for Olive too.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Pleasure to meet a cool person, right? Yeah. You've just met somebody cool. And I wanted to do that introduction of the dogs, just like Ted did it between Trent and the, I forget the
Ollie.
Restaurant. Ollie, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. I should know that. Ollie. Yeah.
No, that's amazing. And I got to tell you, just on the side, and I guess because of the mastery of technology and editing, I can edit this if things go awry this weekend. But this is kind of breaking news that my now fiance is really into crocheting. And so she's also a teacher as well. I guess I should mention that if the proposal goes well this weekend, that part will stay in.
I love being on the inside of that. That's fantastic. Are we the first to be semi?
Can we say congratulations?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. This is a weird space we're living in, guys, in Zoom world. But
that is fantastic.
Well, I'm sure I can fill listeners in on how that goes. We'll see. And if not, then you too will know.
some technology void, some real clip laying on the floor of an office, you know, in the That's Zoom
right.
world.
That's right. But no, it's great to have those different like side interests and things like that. She's really gotten into crocheting. And so she was just like, just loved the sweater as well. So thank you so much for that. But I also want to talk to you both, of course, about this book that you came together on, and wondering about a bit of your backgrounds, because it seems like to me, like reading through this book, being someone in academia that looks into a lot of different leadership books, I liked how the style of this book really seem to reflect the two worlds that both of you come from. So Marnie, you're listed on the book first. I'll start with you first. Yeah. But Marnie, talk to me about your background and what you brought to Lead It Like Lasso.
So I started out as a high school math teacher, which I always say is the hardest crowd of customer success and sales, right? Like I was selling pre-calc to 16-year-olds. So from the business world, I kind of have that background. And then went to the board office, math supervisor, accountability coordinator. And I landed in ed tech, working for the software company that Nick was vice president at, that was all about assessments for students. And I did customer success, which is all about English to English translation. I always feel like that's been one of my roles, right? I was translating pre-calculus to 16-year-olds and back and forth. And then I went and translated software with you know, school systems. And then Nick and I started Lifecycle Insights with two other co-founders after a series of acquisitions that made us feel like we were working for the Rupert Mannions of the world. As a matter of fact, I realized when you say acquisition, 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 it's a lot like Higgins going, you know, it kind of felt like that. Yeah. So that's sort of my role into the book.
Okay. And Nick, how about you? Because you come from a slightly different world, a different take.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, you know, I've been in technology my whole life, and I'm kind of the classic introvert. So I started out programming, and at some point I decided, you know what, I need to expand my horizons a little bit. And I went into consulting all around data analysis and such. Really learned how to broaden myself, you know, expand my relationships, so forth and so on. But I had a knack. I really, and not by design, I started joining companies as like employee number 5 or employee number 8. And that really happened 3 times up through the time when Marnie and I first started working together. And I made a lot of mistakes, you know, experienced a ton of growth. But like Marnie said, we really got into the point where we were forced to deal with the real clash of what the ultimate acquiring company, the Rupert Mannion of our world, said, which is, hey, build, you know, we're going to push raving fans as our core value. And at the same time, they cut our budgets,
half our staff,
and our staff, and that we were responsible for those raving fans and customer success and customer support. And we really developed an operating system that worked, right? We found ways to engage with our customers and really have them appreciate our product. And we had said at that time that, you know what, Let's try to do this on our own, and let's try to incorporate everything that we learned in our operating system. And the funny part about it is, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but when we watched Ted Lasso, we were struck by the similarities and the lessons and everything about that show, the development of people, that we said, you know what, we don't want to just write a book. So after we sold the company, we ended up wanting to write a book. And Marnie, you want to take it from there? Because I keep rambling on about this. But,
yeah. Well, I mean, we wanted to write a leadership book, but in the same way that Ted Lasso is not a soccer show, right? Yeah. People would say like, oh, I don't think I want to watch that show. Heresy, don't say such a thing, you know, like, because it's about soccer. We didn't want to write a leadership book that was just a traditional leadership book. And the relatability of Ted Lasso really hooked with, like Nick said, our core values and positivity and the way we team build we felt was very similar to Ted Lasso. And we wanted people to walk away from our book with the same, like, hey, we can do this. We want to be better.
Well, and I got to tell you that, so it's a great introduction because I wanted to know how you got into Lasso as well. And I'll dive into that a little bit deeper. But, you know, some books like this can, that use some kind of like pop culture pitch along with some kind of leadership strategy or something, it might just kind of gloss over things that are like, okay, this is sort of tangentially related to this topic. And I'm going to mention it once and then I'm going to talk about that topic. Your book is Lasso through and through. I mean, it is like there are profiles in here, which I'm going to get into later. There are talking about like even the way that it's written is in a fun way because it's talking about things like coaching and it talks about Beard going to Ted and reminds people of individual scenes. So clearly you guys are into this show.
Oh, and
so
we're all I'm in.
I'm wondering, you know, like how do you, so my story, you know, I'm kind of lonely during the pandemic. I watch it on my laptop. I binge it the first time through. And then about like six times after binging it, I was like, hey, Jeremy, you got to watch this show. I'm forcing you to watch this show. But how do you come to Ted Lasso? And either of you can start that.
Oh, we'll yeah. have to let Nick start this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'll start because I can't, you know, we first started watching it, my family, my wife and my son and I, during the pandemic as well. And really my son was a big soccer player and we were like, hey, this is a great bonding show. Moment, right? Yeah, it's let's start watching it. And as we're watching it, I'm like, you know, hey, this Ted Lasso guy, he seems awfully familiar to me, right? I know it, I just can't place it. And then, you know, I think we had rewatched the first season when he talked about, you know, wanting to help everybody become the best versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's one thing that Marnie has always represented, and I think it's her background in education, she's said those words to me, right? My core value is helping people become the best versions of themselves. So I went out on a limb. You know, I had recommended one other show to Marnie Stockman in my life, and it didn't go well. It was Game of Thrones. And
that's a tough ask, I will tell you, because so many people were into Game of Thrones. But also, yeah. It's like, there are, especially that first season with how highly, like, sexualized it is and things. Yeah. You're kind of like, oh, man, I don't know if I should recommend this to you, especially to a coworker, you know?
I think that
you're like, so don't think that I'm weird because everyone in America is also watching this show, but.
Yeah, yeah. I think the direct message I got after Marnie started watching it was winter is coming and apparently so is everybody else. I can't watch this show. I said, okay, that was a mistake. But I went out on a limb and I said, okay, you really need to watch the show. It embodies everything you represent. And Marnie, I think that was after season two, right before season three, finally got
so
to watch it.
So we gobbled up season one and two in a heartbeat, which was delightful, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to binge two full seasons. And then we were able to watch season three, you know, asynchronously, but, you know, at the same time. And the odd part is our company, as you read in the book, we grew it in the same three seasons that Ted Lasso aired. So we sold our company right as Ted Lasso is coming to an end. And a lot of people were asking us how you go from $16,000 to eight figures in 3 years. And we realized in reflecting back on our successes, not just as a business, but individually, that that we should write a book to share that story, mm-hmm. right? The framework. And then we're trying to decide how to make it for everyone. And Ted Lasso, like, it just had to be because it just aligned perfectly.
Yeah. And again, it's such a great entry point because there's also a lot of scholarly articles right now or business related articles. I mean, especially in that gap between season two and three, got so many articles from Forbes and from places like People. I mean, like from all different areas of pop culture and then other related business and educational institutions that were writing stuff about leadership skills that Ted Lasso is showing because it was such a connection point. That empathy, that kindness, that being able to bring out the best of people, those are skills that if you can harness that within business or within your own life, that you're going to be doing pretty well for yourself. So I definitely see that. And again, to the listeners out there, this is a book that is not just a leadership book and or a lasso book. It is totally both combined together. It is through and through, both come through in such a great way. And a really enjoyable read, which for a leadership book is a challenge. So thank you and congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Now I got to ask a real quick question, and that is, can you say what a favorite episode is of Ted Lasso for you? And I get asked this all the time, so I'm putting you on the spot. This is it. You got to say one episode. There's no sugarcoating this. There's no, well, but they're all kind of great. You got to say one here. Yeah. All right.
So that's I will go with episode 3. Yeah. Trent Cram.
That's Jeremy's favorite.
And so my daughter is marketing major, and I said, we want to write this book. And she's like, I don't think that's a good idea on pop culture. As you just mentioned, like, how long is that, the lifespan going to be for a book? And I said, Little Miss, you are to watch 3 episodes. Like, as your mother, I mandate, if you want dinner tonight, 3 episodes, and then we can talk about it. And I ran errands, went on a walk, and I came back, and I walk into my daughter singing, Roy Kent, Roy Kent. He's here, he's there. And I was like, there you go. So 3 is not just a great episode, but it's the magic one that we believe there are 2 types of people in the world, people who love Ted Lasso and people who haven't seen it. You get to episode 3 and tell me it's not your show. I disagree.
We're all Trent Krim, right? Like, we're all skeptical. Yeah. We've got, we've got this thought in our head that, like, this is a hokey show about, you know, Jason Sudeikis putting on an accent or whatever. And then you get to episode 3 and you're like, no, I get it now. Yeah. But Nick, your favorite?
Complete unfair question. I agree. But, you know, I'm going to stick with season 1. And I'm going to go with the 2 Aces episode. And a couple of reasons for that. First, I love the whole reverse the curse, the training room curse. And I just thought that was goofy and funny. And you got some insight into characters. Second, I love Danny Rojas. Danny Rojas, he brought us Football is Life. And if you read our book, that's our whole theme, Leadership is Life. But really the reason is it's really the first opportunity in my mind that we see Jamie start to grow. And if you look at the entire series, you know, everybody loves the arc or the development of all the characters, but Jamie's my personal favorite. And I'll never forget, you know, when Jamie was really hesitant to go to the ritual to reverse the curse, and Keely is the one who pushed him. And she tells him, you know, you need to stop fighting people who want to help you. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's such a powerful message, and the brilliance of the show, the writers, right? They keep reinforcing that message, you know, whether it's Ted fighting to let Dr. Sharon help him, or Roy after his career ended, you know, he was really pushing back, and Keely was pushing him to get into a different career, or even like Colin, you know, not opening up with Isaac. I don't care who you are. We all need help sometimes. And finding a way to be humble enough to seek out and kind of embrace that is it's one of the many lessons, but it's the first time that the show really got me, and it just kept going from there.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, I'm right in the middle. So your episode 6 of season 6, 1. Marnie's 3 of season 1. I'm still holding out that Tan Lines is some of the best television ever. And that was before, you know, like retrospectively, I go through a divorce during the show, and it's like, then that episode becomes even more apparent to me. But like, even before that, that was when, yes, Trent Krim, absolutely the independent, that episode is the one that kind of coalesces our idea of who Ted Lasso is. But mm-hmm. I loved when Henry comes to visit, when the family comes to visit that first time, and then you realize that there's more to this man's world and this man's character than what we've already been shown. And then I was just like, that, you know, I was already bought in, but that is a wonderful, wonderful piece of TV for sure. So what I like about how the book is organized, getting back to Lead It Like Lasso, is much like a lot of leadership books, it's structured in a way where you've got these different parts. And so you're sort of moving from kind of coming up with some of these ideas and setting the boundaries or setting the ideas that you want to share, and then kind of move it through to the game plan. But one wondering how you decide to come up with sort of the structure of the book, and was that already in place, knowing that you wanted to have a leadership book, and then you kind of put Lasso into it, or was it kind of a marriage of the two? And Marnie, do you want to take that one?
Well, it was definitely a marriage of the two. So they happened at the same time. So we didn't have a ton of writing and then decided to lasso it up. We lassoed it from the very beginning. And as Nick and I were brainstorming, I can remember we were talking about different frameworks and we said, well, what are the elements of soccer? What are the elements of the show? What are the elements of coaching? Well, you have rules, you have players, you have a training, and then you have the game, right? And we use training instead of practice because that's the language in England, right? And in the show. So we really did think about, like, if we were writing a playbook, you know, and Trent Crim's, you know, like the lasso way, what elements would there be? So we decided to sort of go along with the coaching theme of those are the elements, and those are going to be the big units of the book.
And I think, and I, but you hit on a key point, Craig, when you talked about it, and it's something that we would like to kind of reinforce is, I'm sure everybody's kind of read leadership books, as part of their development, or if you haven't, a lot of them just really talk about theory and don't give you many actionable things to do. So it's really important for us in that game section to provide something that the user could actually take away and do something with. That's the way we built a business. That's the way we have viewed success, is not just talking about things, but actually doing things. And that's a big takeaway of this book, and how it's a little bit different than other books that are out there.
And I told you two before we started recording, but now is a good time to mention I've been developing a new first year seminar, and it's called What TV Has Taught Us. And Lasso is going to be a part of that. But I was encouraged to not only sort of like you were mentioning, Marnie, I was encouraged by the folks above to not consider just Lasso only because of the relevance over time. Although I think this show is going to be with us for a while. But the game part is the part that's the really the activities and things that you all have in here about things like identifying your own core values and principles and the worksheets and the interactivity that you have of going through that. I think it's just really valuable for people to be able to look at their own self and sort of where they're at in life and kind of understand that helping to define these things and really understanding yourself better is a great place to start when you want to try to move forward in whatever industry, or even if you're volunteering, or if I guess if you're a youth soccer coach trying to make your way in this crazy world, this is a place that you all can go to, right?
So it's interesting. We have a lot of students and recent graduates that tell us this is the work they need to do to figure out what they want their path to be in life. And Nick mentioned earlier sort of the clash you can feel if you're working and work doesn't feel good. It is often a core value clash. And if you haven't done the work to understand who you are and the world you want to live in, then you're not going to understand why this business that's all about accountability and you're all about freedom are constantly clashing. Not that those two are exact opposites, but it's often you need to do that work. And we wanted to be able to help folks. And we're finding that, like you said, it's not just for business leaders. It's in the locker room, the boardroom, the living room, et cetera. We say that multiple times in the book. A lot of people have really reached out because they find they needed to do the work.
Absolutely. And I just love that there's that interactive piece, like you were talking about, Nick. It's just, I think it really brings some of those lessons that you're trying to bring from Ted and from yourselves and really kind of puts it into us and allows us to have that interactive piece that I think is wonderful in this book. So I also love the section, sort of, I believe it's in the second part of the book where we start to get a lot of player profiles and character profiles that again relate so much to Ted and to Lasso in general, because you're kind of marking yourself as these different types of leadership models based on the characters from Lasso. And I don't want to necessarily give away a bunch of them because they're really in depth. They're really great in kind of explaining why you would argue these particular leadership styles. And I think that they make a whole lot of sense. But I want all the listeners to go out and read it themselves. So, what I want to do though is I want to ask you, what character do you most relate to, each of you, in your own individual leadership styles or how you go about your everyday business? And I'll start with Nick, since I've been starting with the extrovert Marnie a bunch. I got to go to my introvert friend.
Well, shockingly enough, I do not relate with Ted Lasso very much from a leadership style as my introverted tendencies. But yeah, I actually, when I took the assessment, I align very much with Roy accountability, authenticity, integrity. I'm one that kind of offers constructive criticism. Sometimes I need to do it more with empathy, right? So I think that's one of the values of any assessment, right? Myers-Briggs, what have you, right? This is just another one, but understanding what your strengths are, but more importantly, understanding where your areas of opportunity are, right? So from my standpoint, I really relate to Roy, especially early on, Roy, right? You know, everybody evolved during the show, so it's kind of tough to take the end snapshot of each character, but focusing on building stronger relationships, speaking with more empathy, right? Sometimes being more positive about things. Those are things that Roy needed to work on. And not surprisingly, I have the same style and approach where I need to work on those things as well. So it's what we do in the book is we say, okay, if you're like Roy, here are some resources that you can use. And then the other thing that I think we do in the book, and it's not necessarily in that section, but, a big part of improving, once you understand your leadership style is seeking out those around you that help fill the gaps. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's compatible, right? And the whole notion of diamond dogs. And we can talk about that a little bit. But Marnie, who are you?
Well, just before even Marnie chimes in, I got to say, Nick, first of all, I think this is when we should let our listeners know. I knew you were going to be Roy Kent because I've had to edit out so many F-bombs from this episode. I can't believe you came in here, guns blazing, just like Roy. No, but I find it interesting that Roy is your style and that Jamie is your favorite character, because I think that that's really interesting. It shows that relationship of, because we all know that, I mean, gosh, like one of the most emotional moments in this entire show is in the episode where in season two and where that hug happens between the two, because it's like this culmination of all this pent up frustration. And it really shows the coaching and even like the paternal side that Roy Kent has for Jamie Tart. And so it's incredible to like have that kind of a relationship. And it makes sense to me that if you identify yourself or if the assessment has also identified you more in Roy's vein, that Jamie would be one of those characters that would stick out to you for sure. But Marnie?
Yeah. So in a shocking surprise to no one, I was a combo platter of Ted and Rebecca. I know that you're a Ted Lasso for sure, and Nick did make me watch the show because I had a lot of Ted Lasso tendencies, but also so I was a math major. So the strategy, and Rebecca we have in the book is a visionary transformer and Ted was the positivity guru. I lack the cheerleader bit of Ted, although I can be certainly goofy. So I was a combo platter.
Yeah, if I may use that word again, fiance. When we were reading through the book, yeah, I just crossed your fingers. When she was reading through the book, the comparison to Rebecca Welton to Walt Disney was it sung to our Disney loving hearts, I've got to say. Nice. So you really won her over with that comparison for sure. I loved that so much. But yeah, let's talk about the idea. Nick, you brought it up, and let's talk about the idea of trying to take your leadership style then and making sure that you have compatible people around you, because I think that that's why it was great. Jeremy and I started our network of podcasts, and he is more of the kind of technical guy. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even know how to edit these things for like years, all of that stuff. And then I was the guy that would just shamelessly go ask people to come onto the show, and I think that that mix worked out well. And in our real lives, we often joke that he's very much a Coach Beard and I'm very much a Ted. And I think that that compatibility is what kind of helped sustains not only a friendship, but also something successful like a podcast or like a business, right?
Yeah. I mean, and we would describe ourselves in very similar fashions, right? We, Marnie and I, we've had the fortunate success of starting and growing and exiting from a business. And I would say that it is almost certainly due to the fact that our skill sets complement each other, both from, you know, being able to execute, but in the way we think about things and the way we approach people. And we're very similar. Marnie's the outgoing, you know, connector, and I'm more of the analytical, technical person. But we actively embrace challenge networks, both of us, right? We surround ourselves with people who complement our own strengths. We trust them and we seek accountability, right? It's something that we just did a podcast the other day, and we do a podcast where we kind of drill into different leadership aspects of every episode. And we did the one on accountability when Rebecca talks to Keely about Rupert. You know, I've been married to him for 12 years. He made mistakes all the time, and never once did he take accountability for any of them. And then that Keely thing obviously goes to Jamie and breaks up with him. But from our perspective, surrounding yourself with people who you trust, who have different skill sets, but most importantly, will hold you accountable to getting better, is what we preach. And we are fortunate enough that just between the two of us, we cover so much. Not that we don't have other, my spouse, you know, Marnie's husband. We have other people that fill that framework. But you know, walking away from this book, we hope that people really take to heart our section on Diamond Dogs and what it means to have a challenge network.
Absolutely. And Marnie, what else, what other aspects of this book would you like to talk about? Because I'd love to get into some wild speculation here about the future of Ted Lasso with you all, because I think that that's really what the listeners want to hear, is a bunch of people on the internet that have no idea what's going to happen, what's going to happen. Yeah. But what other aspects of the book that I haven't had a chance to cover would you want to make sure that our listeners know about before they go out and buy it and scoop it all up?
Well, you talk about wild speculation. So in the last chapter, we talk about sort of legacy and looking forward, right? And creating a vision for yourself. And so as we were writing the book, we thought, heck, this might get to Apple TV. We're going to throw in our own, when season four happens, Nick is going to be in the audience like Trent Crim quizzing Roy Kent. And I'm going to be in a biscuits bake-off with Jason Sudeikis in Kansas City with his kids' soccer, right? So, but we talk about the reason we were talking about that, aside from the shameless plug and trying to get Apple's attention, was to think about, in order to set a path for where you want to be, you have to have a clear vision of what that is, right? So we wrote in the book, the chapter on legacy, where we actually wrote a retirement letter of what we want to say when we're retiring. So we wrote the book, and now we've got to take action on what we said. But what we had fun doing was writing Nate's retirement letter and reflecting back on that. And it's unfair that I'm going to say this, because it's definitely Nick's idea of, like, if Nate had his own retirement letter planned out when he was first the kit man, would he have gone so far off the rails in season two? Or would that have helped him see, like, stay the course, do the work, be honest with Ted, right? Instead of all that did happen.
Yeah, that's, it's something that, like, is just having those core values and those core principles, and then that guiding light, is just really important in many aspects of your life. Nick, anything else that you want to mention about either the legacy, the book, whatever you'd like to talk about?
You know, I the only other thing, and I'll try to keep it brief, is, you know, I don't know if you've ever read Adam Grant in his book, Hidden Potential. I love Think Again, but in his most recent book, Hidden Potential, he talks about the fact that we're in the midst of a character revolution, right? With AI all over the place, right? You know, helping us do everything and really commoditizing this whole notion of technical skills. You know, it's all about character. Character is what wins. And it's what Marnie and I have seen our entire career. People who really invest in personal leadership, you know, the softer, the professional type skills, and understand themselves, are those that are going to differentiate themselves in anything that they do. So whether it's watching Ted Lasso, reading our book, just investing in self-care and yourself, it doesn't matter, right? build up your character skills, invest as much in that as you possibly can, and don't ignore it. And that's really one of the messages that we feel like we need to evangelize. We admire and love the show Ted Lasso for doing exactly that. And from our perspective, if you can just place an emphasis and importance on taking care of yourself, understanding yourself, and building up your character skills and understanding your core values and such, you're that far ahead. So that's my soapbox, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, that's awesome too, because I like that, because I think that so often you hear about or read about how, especially around times of the pandemic and moving things virtually, that and I keep picking on you for being introverted, but you said you were introverted, so I got to pick on you. But like the thing is, like, you see so much about how it's really an extroverted world now. Everybody's posting their own content. Everybody is trying to make almost their own brand. But it's great that you're coming at it that, like, you're still working on character pieces, even when it might not necessarily be the go scream everything in the street, but you're really working on yourself, because that's going to propel you forward, regardless of whether or not you may be the most comfortable in any given situation, depending on what that situation is, right?
100%. Love it.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. And so now, wild speculation, what's happening with Ted Lasso? So we do know that Apple and Warner Brothers would probably pay Jason Sudeikis any sum of money that he would like to come back to the show. And I think that they would pay the writing staff. I think that a lot of the people would come back. And so I'm wondering now what your thoughts are. Just what would you like to see? Would you like it to be done here at three seasons, the original arc that Jason had in his head? Would you like to see a spinoff series, maybe the women's team of AFC Richmond, maybe the coach Beard, Roy Kent configuration of AFC Richmond? Whatever it is, what is it that you might want to see in a season four, or do you want to see a season four at all? So we'll go to Nick first.
Well, I do. I get the argument that, you know, the three seasons were perfect. No more, no more, no more. But I want more. I'm selfish that way. I mean, I hold the writers of the show in such high regard that I have every confidence that they can come up with another arc in a completely different environment. So I don't even want a spinoff. I want the same characters. And I know Apple has this relationship with the MLS, right? Uh-huh. So I'm kind of thinking that, okay, you know, maybe we change the setting a little bit, right? We have fish out of water story, Roy Kent, Nate coming over to Kansas.
The Sporting Kansas City or something?
Yeah, Sporting Kansas City, or yeah. Maybe a new franchise. And, you know, they're the fish out of water story, right? You have the Brits coming over to the United States, and that in and of itself is a culture shock, right? And then we have Ted and Beard as kind of maybe not as active in it, but still around as advisors to it. So that might not be too creative or original, but I just want more, and I'm trying to figure out how to make it happen. And I agree with you, Apple should throw all sorts of money at Warner Brothers to try to make that happen.
Oh, they absolutely, I'm
or
sure
Warner
every
Brothers
day.
I bet that they have
like just some poor intern that is just like waiting for that email from Jason. That's like, okay, yeah. I'm in finally. And then they'll turn the switch. Yeah. But Marnie, what about you? What's your vision? What would you like to see the future of AFC Richmond?
Yeah. Wait, well, I actually quite like Nick's idea. I had not heard that before. I'm wondering if there's some way, because I do feel, to his point, a spinoff wouldn't, like, it's not going to get you what we wanted in the original. So could there be some Diamond Dog version of where they all are going about and growing, and they become, you know, that Diamond Dog group always sort of gets together retreat-ish like to then tell the story of their life. So that all the spinoffs can happen, but they're getting to look at it from their perspective somehow. I don't know why that came to mind, but that's, I also just want it to happen.
I like that a lot. So before I let you all go today, getting back to your business roots and for people that are out there looking to improve themselves, I'm wondering about any just general, doesn't have to be Lasso related or tied in, but just general pieces of advice that you might have for someone. I'll tell you that like our deficiencies here between Jeremy and I, we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, that we get that imposter syndrome that's hard to like get out of your own head sometimes and get out of your own way to envision where you could go. And you took something that, as you said, became extremely successful, extremely quickly, were able to sell that. And then you're able to write this book about this show and everything else that you've had, your successes in your careers. But any advice, general advice that you could give out there to people that might be looking for some right now? And I'll go to Marnie first.
Well, I think a lot in business, you hear folks say, I'm so busy working in the business, I don't have any time to work on the business. And if you can think at a higher level about growing a business, it's amazing how fast it scales. And so I would say the same thing about people. If you're so busy in the day to day, right, and distracted on social, et cetera, that you're not taking the time to look at the bigger picture of your vision, to take that time to see the vision and to take the next step. That is really what we are encouraging people to do in the book. And all the resources from our book are free on the website. So you can download them and do the activities, even if you don't buy the book, right? Like, take action, do the next thing, do it now.
Awesome. Awesome. Nick, any final thoughts from you?
You know, I would say manifest it, right? Believe, right? It's something we started a business with an operating system and no product market fit at all. We didn't even think, we had no idea what our business was going to be about before we actually started the business. And we started, scaled, exited within 3 years because we believed. We knew we had the passion to do it. We knew we had the core values and the framework to do it. We just needed to find out what that what was. So we believed. We just made it happen. The same is true with the book. When we had told our family and friends that we were going to write a book, they're doing all sorts of research on Google. And they're like, hey, you know, you guys never wrote a book before. It says here that if you sell 500 books, you know, in the lifetime, it's, you're doing good and you're not going to make any money out of that. Hogwash. We said, you know what, we're going to be successful with this, and we're going to find a way to get valuable points across in a way that people want to consume. And it was all about just believing that we can do it. And I think that is true both in business, in personal lives, in Ted Lasso. Just believe and manifest it. Make it happen.
That's fantastic. Well, it's been great getting a chance to talk to both of you today. Thank you so much for the sweater. Thank you so much for this amazing book. I encourage all of our listeners to go and check it out. Would either of you like to give any individual plugs about the website or where to purchase the book? Of course, you can find it everywhere.
Like Roy Kent.
That you'd like to do. Yeah.
It's here, exactly. It's there, it's every up and where, right? LeadItLikeLasso.com. Buy the book on Amazon for sure. And we're on all the socials as Lead It Like Lasso. So that makes us easy to find. We got them all.
And in the Peanut Butter and Biscuits Facebook page as well. Absolutely. I should mention that you're both in there. Yeah. So we'll definitely get a conversation going as this episode gets posted.
Awesome.
But thanks so much again. And I hope you both have such a great day.
And congratulations. Thanks, on your engagement.
Well, thank you. The future engagement. I'll definitely let you know how it goes.
So. Awesome. Thanks, Craig. We appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio Illinois. For more from the Front Row Network, including our articles or our other dozens of shows, visit thefrontrownetwork.com or nprillinois.org/programs/frontrownetwork. You can also find us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and on Twitter @FrontRowReviews with a Z.